Translation, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead was within her womb, Devaki illuminated the entire atmosphere of the place where she was confined. Seeing her jubilant, pure and smiling, Kamsa thought, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who is now within her, will kill me. Devaki has never before looked so brilliant and jubilant." So Kamsa is noticing something. Even the demons can notice things. Sometimes. Purport. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 4:7, "Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijami aham." Whenever and wherever there's the decline of religious practice, O descendant of Bart, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. In this age, at the present moment, there are inordinate discrepancies in the discharge of human duties. Human life is meant for God realization, but unfortunately, the materialistic civilization is stressing only the senses of the body, not understanding the living force within the body. As clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita, Dehino smin yata dehe. Within the body is the body's proprietor, the living force, which is more important. But human society has become so fallen that instead of understanding the living force within the body, people have become busy with external things. This is a discrepancy in human duties. Therefore, Krishna has taken birth or taken shelter within the womb of the Krishna consciousness movement. Men of Kamsa's class, therefore, are very much afraid and are busy trying to stop this movement, especially in the Western countries. One politician has remarked that the Krishna consciousness movement is spreading like an epidemic, and that if it is not checked immediately, within 10 years, it may capture government power. This was in the United States. There is, of course, such a potency in the Krishna consciousness movement. As stated by authorities, C.C. Adi 1722, Kali Kale, Namarupa, Krishna Avatar. In this age, Krishna has appeared in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. The Krishna conscious movement is spreading like wildfire all over the world, and will go on doing so. Men who are like Kamsa are very much afraid of the movement's progress and acceptance by the younger generation. But as Krishna cannot be killed by Kamsa, this movement cannot be checked by men of Kamsa's class. The movement will go on increasing more and more, provided the leaders of the movement remain firmly Krishna conscious by following the regulative principles and the primary activities of chanting Hare Krishna mantra regularly. Om Agyan Timidandasya Ginajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Jurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapditam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadanti Swam Padantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gauda Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So Kamsa is afraid. He sees that the prophecy is about to manifest. And what was that prophecy? The eighth child of his sister, Devaki, who is now in his custody as a prisoner, you might say, is pregnant. And that pregnancy is illuminating the entire jail cell. It's effulgent. And Kamsa is now thinking what to do. And of course he's making his plans that when the child is born, you know, I'll kill it. But he doesn't understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is never touched by the material energy in any aspect of his appearance or activities in this world. And Bhagavad Gita gives that very important statement in relationship to our own, what we say, success in devotional service. When we can understand that the birth and the appearance, of course, birth, appearance, and activities of the Lord in this world are transcendental, divya, have nothing to do with anything material, and then that realization qualifies one to go back to Godhead. In other words, you've understood the nature of the Supreme Lord. But Krishna appears like one of us, or maybe a little bit better, as he was viewed by many, seeing him as maybe a powerful personality or someone who was, you know, had some kind of, you know, position, some mystic power. But he's not like that. Even the deity, we see the deity. We think, you know, materialist persons or even persons with a little better consciousness may also think the deity is stone, the deity is wood, the deity is can't talk, the can't walk, can't eat. But he does all these things. When you have the eyes, as Prabhupada said, you can see it. Prabhupada was standing next to one very respectable gentleman who had come to visit Srila Prabhupada in one temple. And they were standing together, both viewing Radha and Krishna deity. I can't remember what temple it was. But Prabhupada turned to the man after some time and said, if you could actually see, you could understand that they're having their pastimes right in front of us. He could see. He had that vision. He had that transcendental vision. But, you know, Premanjrita bhakti vilochanena santasa daiva hridayesha vilokayanti yam shyama sunda achinta guna sarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. Only when love has manifested in the heart do the eyes become, what we say, qualified to see Krishna. Pure love. So Kamsa, of course, doesn't have anything near that. He has pure hate. He is Raganuga on hate principle. He has reached the stage of spontaneous hate. So you might give him credit that he's not an ordinary person in the sense that he's a respectable demon by other demons. He's worshipped by others as a great demon. And he's proud of it. And he also uses his power to exploit and to control. But now, he's a little bit concerned because he knows one thing. And what is that concern? He knows that in his last life he was killed by the Supreme Lord also. And so the same Lord is again appeared in a different form, this time in his original form, to again thwart all of Kamsa's plans for material, you know, conquest. So now he's making plans. So Prabhupada makes a nice analogy, which is very much relevant to us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what is that? That this Krishna consciousness movement is the birth of Lord Krishna in this world. Or you might even say Lord Chaitanya. Of course, Lord Chaitanya is the one who inaugurated it. And Srila Prabhupada was the one who took that inauguration and spread it all around the world. But it's all about the Supreme Lord's appearance, and it's about, again, making the world Krishna conscious. As Prabhupada begins the whole purport by saying, whenever there's a rise of irreligion, and everybody knows now the days, where is there not irreligion? Everywhere. It's even in the common places which people every day frequent, in the marketplaces, in the homes, in the schools, you know. Now they teach little children, you know, that you can actually choose what sex you want to get involved with. You know, they're putting out books to homosexuals now, which are being pushed in certain schools. And that, you know, it's not so okay because, you know, it's called freedom of choice. So we see that how, what we say, much the moral barometer of society has fallen into the ordinary activities of people in general. So sinful life is everywhere. It's everywhere. And devotees know that, and we have to really much be very much protective and stay close to taking shelter of Krishna at all time, because it's a dangerous civilization. I was just talking to the devotees just recently before the class, and I was mentioning how this was in the Balkans where I preach. One devotee, he was a brahmachari, and he was a preacher. But he was somewhat of an independent preacher. You know, he had his own way of preaching, and he would go out. He was good. He would distribute books and hold programs. But he wasn't associating much with others. He was on a kind of like independent. So one day he was doing his work on his computer, and somehow, as he described to me, he talked to me personally about it, that he went on the wrong website. You know, one of those websites you're not supposed to be on. And his mind got attracted. And he stayed on there, you know, a significant amount of time, where his mind actually became very, very much polluted and disturbed. Now, it seemed to have to be an accident, because he didn't go for it, but the site somehow or other appeared, as he explains it. And then he came to me and he said, my mind is so disturbed, I can't chant, and his thoughts are always coming into my mind. What do I do? I just basically tried to make him feel that, you know, you're not lost, you just have to take shelter of the holy name and absorb yourself as much as possible in chanting and reading, and get back into the association of devotees. But this went on for some time. His mind was very disturbed. So just a little, what we say, accident, and all of a sudden, one is somewhat affected. Prabhupada talks about this. He said, I'm riding on planes, and I see these movies, and these impressions come in my mind, and I'm thinking, these are disturbing to me. Prabhupada talks about that. How when you see something visual that you don't really want to see, how that can make an impression on the mind, and how that mind can keep that impression even in dreams or even in a waking consciousness. Or even if somebody says something that's unpalatable, that thought appears, that sting comes into your mind, and you just think, oh, why is it bothering me like this? Or sometimes you dwell on it, which is really dangerous. No, that's not the verse. Tayate visayam pumsam sangat sanjayate sangat sanjayate kama kama krodha vijayate krodha bhavati samoham samoham sriti vibrahma sriti brahmsa buddhinasa buddhinasa pranashyati. By contemplating sense objects, one develops lust, and from lust comes anger, from anger delusion, from delusion bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost, and when intelligence is lost, vinashati means one again falls down into the material energy. So it's very subtle how easy it is to fall victim of the, what we say, the evils of the present day society, which is everywhere. So Kamsa society is very strong. The Kamsa class is very strong nowadays. But the Krishna consciousness movement is stronger. Prabhupada wants to make that point, that although there are persons who are very much concerned that this movement doesn't spread, even today and are making plans to stop it. It cannot be possible. As Kamsa could not kill Krishna, so the Kamsa class of men today cannot stop this Krishna consciousness movement because it's ordained by the Lord himself. And it is the Lord's birth in this material world to rid the world of irreligion and to bring a, what we say, an age of spirituality, as it mentions. When Lord Chaitanya appears 5,000 years from that appearance date, continuously, this movement will increase. And then after 5,000 years, it'll reach a height of success around the world. And then gradually, as material energy is always there, it starts to come back. So that's prophesized in many of the Puranas, the Linga Purana, Bhavishya Purana, the Shiva Purana, and other Puranas talk about the prophecy of how this movement will spread around the world. Now, but Prabhupada gives the condition. How fast it will spread, that's the question. It could also take a detour. And the detour would be, if, Prabhupada said, if the leaders remain pure in their following of the principles of Krishna consciousness, the four regulative principles, and the chanting regularly of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He uses these two statements. In other words, follow the regulative principles and develop a taste for chanting Hare Krishna. Because Krishna and Krishna's name, we know. Kali Kale, Nama Rupa, Krishna Avatar. It's not different. There's no difference between the two. Therefore, this movement is Krishna personified in the form of his holy name. And nothing can stop Krishna. It looks like it. Sometimes we see there are reverses. Just like one of our leading sannyasis many years ago was talking to Prabhupada. He was preaching in Argentina. And he had opened a temple there. And then, of course, the Argentinian government at the time was quite militant, and there was a lot of revolutions going on. So they also didn't like our movement. So one day they came in with guns and soldiers and closed the whole temple down, told all the devotees, this is it, go. This temple doesn't belong to you anymore. So he reported that to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, yes, now they say, now you're dead. And after that, they can't do anything. So what he's saying is that, you know, they can apparently do things, but ultimately they can't stop the movement like that. Now you're dead. We have stopped your temple. But you haven't stopped the Krishna consciousness movement. So there have been many incidents like that throughout the history of our movement for the last 50 years. This is the 50th anniversary of Krishna's appearance in the Hare Krishna movement around the world. So, you know, and there'll be more challenges in the future. Prabhupada said, as this movement grows, you will get more and more obstacles from outside. People will feel threatened by the success of our movement. Because what are we saying? No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, no more shopping unnecessarily. That's the fifth regulative principle. In other words, we're pretty much shutting down the whole materialistic way of life. That's what we're saying. Prabhupada said, if they knew what I was saying, they would kill me. He said that. I guess they found out after Prabhupada left what he was actually saying. And in 1977, there's a whole series of lectures given by Prabhupada in conversations with his devotees on the deprogramming movement that was going on in America throughout the 70s. I think Agni Dave, you remember those days, the deprogrammers? And there was a lot of, I mean, I didn't even know many devotees who were captured, arranged by their parents, paid by deprogrammers, paying deprogrammers to somehow or other bring them back to be nice little boys and girls again. Anyway, this went on for some time, and Prabhupada was talking, yes, we have to fight. This movement is about fighting. What is our fighting? To spread this Krishna consciousness everywhere. Spread the holy name, distribute prasadam, and preach the glories of the Lord everywhere. This is our weaponry. And they can't stop it, because honest and sincere people will take to this movement. And people are looking. There are a lot of people who are pretty much fed up with the civilization they live in, but don't know where to look for solutions. They've heard so many things, they've tried other things, and usually they go back to it, you know, their way of life, or maybe something a little bit better or different. But when they come in contact with our movement, and if we maintain our purity, and Prabhupada says, chant your 16 rounds, chant every day 16 good rounds. He made that statement to Abhiram. He wrote a letter. He said, every day the devotees should chant 16 good rounds. That means not just get the rounds done, but actually absorb ourselves in the hearing of Krishna's name with devotion and with attention. And that's powerful. That is really powerful. Chant 16 good rounds. My God, how much advancement you would make and just do that one day. Amazing. Because the holy name is non-different than Krishna. Krishna's appearing in that form to empower his devotees with bhakti and to allow that bhakti to extend itself everywhere. So this is our success, and this is our purity. To chant the holy names, avoiding the offenses, and of course avoiding the activities that are detrimental to devotional service. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Sri Sri Gornitai Ki Jai. So this movement, and Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada was a fighter. He was a fighter. He was always saying, we have to fight. We have to fight in order to push this movement on. But as long as we remain pure, no one can stop this movement. He said it can only be stopped from within and not from without. Within means if we become less serious, and if we start suddenly declining in our own execution of the principles and not chanting our rounds nicely or whimsically, then we will lose the enthusiasm and the potency to spread Krishna consciousness. Like that. So, and so therefore, Prabhupada wanted us to be serious in our execution. Coming to the morning program is important. Coming to the morning program, Mangal Arti, Tulsi Puja, associating with devotees, chanting the holy names, worshiping the spiritual master. It's like a purifying bath every day when you come out after the whole morning program. And then you take prasadam. You're on top of the world. You feel so purified just in that association. That's this morning program is powerful, spiritually powerful, spiritually uplifting like that. If we absorb ourselves in the activities like that, in the mood of service like that. So, yeah, so we'll get, there's no question that as this move spreads, there will be more and more attempts to stop our movement in different ways, legally, illegally, violently, whatever way. The same thing happened to Christianity. when Christianity was spreading after Christ, and then it started to grow and take over various positions in the government. You know, after a while, even before then, many Christians were, you know, persecuted. And there's a whole book which was published in 1886. It's called Fox's Books of Martyrs. Fox wrote this book on the martyrs, the Christian martyrs. How many Christians actually gave up their life in order to spread Christianity. And that's why Christianity is so powerful today, at least around the world. Of course, it's losing its force because it's compromising its principles. But in the early days, because of the Christian saints and they're willing to give up their life in order to preach Christianity, that movement spread so fast. It says if you want to spread a movement, persecute it. That's why they don't persecute us too much, because they know it'll spread faster. They have the history. But again, they're also worried that our movement will spread. Because as soon as you start persecuting the movement, then we get so much sympathy and support from so many other groups and so many other people. So they're very careful how they try to stop our movement like that. So it's going on today in so many different ways, either legally. In the early days, it was the deprogrammers, and now it's in different ways, trying to shut down temples, court cases, different things like that. Slowed down a little bit now, maybe because we're not preaching as strong as we used to. And Prabhupada writes, quotes this one politician. He also mentions that in a couple of his taped lectures, that this one politician was saying that if we continue, this Krishna conscious movement continues the way it goes, it will take over the government. Like that. Of course, we don't want to be politicians. But we want to make government leaders Krishna conscious. And Prabhupada started the In God We Trust Party back in the 1970s, which was a forum for preaching Krishna consciousness on the political scene. And we ran one devotee for president of the United States. That was Balavanta Prabhu. And there was a whole party. There was money coming in. There was campaigns. And we actually were campaigning for... But Prabhupada, after a while, he stopped the whole thing. He said, we don't want to get involved with this politics. But while it was going, we used it as a forum to preach Krishna consciousness like that. So Prabhupada had big ideas. Prabhupada said, I can't think small. He said, that's my problem. I can't think small. And Prabhupada was telling... Prabhupada was talking to his devotees on how there was one building that they were building in India when he was a young boy. I think it was somewhere in Calcutta, a very high building. And they had all the scaffolding on the building. Prabhupada said, I climbed all the way up on the top of the scaffolding. And one devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you are brave. Prabhupada said, I'm still brave. How could I come to your country otherwise? So Prabhupada was a fighter. He knew that Krishna was behind him, so he didn't have no problem understanding that success simply means to persevere according to Krishna's direction like that. So, yeah. So this Krishna consciousness movement is destined to ultimately spread around the world. How we'll do it? Well, we get an idea through Harinam, through various types of program to purify people's hearts and to make them more and more inclined. But how fast it becomes, that's why Prabhupada says the movement will go on more and more and spread if we remain pure in our own practice of Krishna consciousness. As soon as we don't do that, it'll slow down the progress. But it'll still happen. Prabhupada said to us, if you don't do it, the next generation will do it. And if they don't do it, the next generation will do it. In other words, it will happen because it's Lord Chaitanya's prophecy. But that doesn't mean, just like Arjuna didn't have any worries in fighting the battle of Kurukshetra. Why? Because Krishna was on the chariot. But if Arjuna were to think, well, Krishna's on the chariot, and because Krishna's here, everything is auspicious and success is guaranteed. No. Krishna told him, you got to fight. Although I'm here and I'm with you, still, you have to fight. But Prabhupada says, Krishna likes a good fight. And the demons come to Vrindavan, and Krishna says, all right, Krishna says, now it's time to work out a little bit, flex the muscles, get a little exercise. Here comes another demon. Krishna likes fights. He comes to the material world to fight. Prabhupada said, in the spiritual world, there's nobody to fight with. But in this material world, everybody's fighting, right? That's all they do. Prabhupada said, where do you get that propensity to fight from? From Krishna. The fighting spirit is actually a natural propensity of the living entity because it's in the Supreme. But of course, it has to be geared in the right way. People fight for the wrong reasons and with the wrong persons. But devotees fight for truth. Devotees fight for truth. What is that truth? And that is to bring God consciousness to as many people as possible. Like that. So Prabhupada wanted us to remain very strict in our own execution and devotional service. And if we do that, Krishna will do the rest. This movement is under his control. It's even mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that this ISKCON movement is one of the branches of Lord Chaitanya's tree. As the tree grows, the trunk is Mahaprabhu, and the big branches are his intimate associates. And then the smaller branches come out as other forms of his devotees. But this movement is also extended out as one of the big branches of Lord Chaitanya's tree to bring Harinam Sankirtan worldwide, like that. So it's a call to fight for the right thing, like that. When Prabhupada was towards the end of his time, when his body was undergoing the very difficult, Prabhupada never decided to just lay in bed and just give up. He did. He had to lay in bed because of his body, but he never gave up fighting. He said, I want the privilege of dying on the battlefield. I want to be like Arjuna. I want to die fighting. I want to die. In other words, I want to keep spreading this Krishna consciousness movement until my last breath. And that's what he did. Even in his last breath, he was still translating, still instructing his devotees to continue in different ways to bring Krishna consciousness. So that enthusiasm was very strong in 1977. There was like almost a call to war. The devotees were like militant. Let's preach everywhere. But then, after Prabhupada left, it went on for some time, and then things got a little bit slow. And then went down in the 80s. 90s went really down. In the 2000s, it started to come back again, and now it's, again, the signs are looking good. Our movement is spreading. It went down for a while. Why did it go down for a while? Because devotees got comfortable. Because all the benefits that came by way of preaching, such as the facilities that Krishna arranged for the devotees to have, such as nice buildings, money, nice facilities, where we're used simply to take it easy. And the movement went down. But then again, after some time, Lord Chaitanya brought the movement again strong. And now it's spreading all over the world fast. That's good. We have to continue like that and make more and more devoted persons Krishna consciousness. So we should understand it's not about simply about our own spiritual life. It's about bringing Lord Chaitanya's movement to every town and village. In whatever way we can be a part of that. And this is the history. This is a glorious history. We read about history, right? In times of the past when so many wonderful things happened during history and the people who were involved in it. We're making history right now. And we're all part of it. And the most amazing thing, it's the Lord's desire that this happens. So how glorious it is. Anyone who gives themselves to preaching Krishna consciousness, they're recognized by Krishna. It's glorious. And everyone can do something accordingly. But, as Prabhupada said, purity is the force. So we have to remain pure in our own execution of Krishna. Follow those four regulative principles and seriously every day chant our rounds. Like it's the most important thing we can do. If we keep that focus when our chanting, attending the functions like that, we'll always remain strong and we'll always remain free from the effects of the material energy. Maya can't touch you. Prabhupada, in the early days, we would hear this quite often. There's a class of kirtaniers who are somewhere in India. And we were told, I used to hear this story over, they would dance with their arms under like this. And they would dance in a defiant way. They would look down at the ground and dance like that. And what were they doing? Come on, Maya, try and touch me. Come on. They're challenging Maya. You can't touch me. I'm in kirtan. Maya can't come into the kirtan. She's just, okay, I'll wait till it stops. Then I'll get him. No, but keep the con. So that's the power of this holy name. When we're in kirtan, the material energy just, you know, resides, goes away. Power of Krishna's holy name. Okay. Any comments? Questions? Battle plans? Yes. Agni De Prabhu. The first line of the verse? Yeah. Let's see. Tadviksha kamsa pravaya jatita tarampa. Let's see. Yeah. Kamsa. Yeah. Unconquerable. Yeah. Yeah, unconquerable. Fear is the element that pervades material existence. People are afraid, but devotee knows that Krishna is unconquerable. Therefore, a devotee can act for Krishna with no fear. We're not foolish, but we're fearless. Fearless means that as long as we're following Krishna's instructions, Krishna's there. The spiritual master instructions. Ajita. Unconquerable. And Krishna likes to fight. I mean, everybody likes to fight. Or we like to either fight or we like to watch or hear about fights, right? I mean, the cowherd boys, when Krishna kills a demon, well done, well done. Jai. Flowers come from the demigods, right? There's a orchestration in the heavenly planets. Yes. Thank you. Please add some more. Okay. Yes. It's prophecy. There's a book written by one of my godbrothers, and his name is Sri Nandanandana. And he's written a book on the prophecy of this movement, and he's gathered information from all the Puranas. And it's about, I can't remember the exact title, but if you look up the author, Sri Nandanandana, he's a Prabhupada disciple living in Detroit. He has a website, and he puts out a lot of books on Krishna consciousness that are both for devotees and for the secular society. And he put this book out about 10, 12 years ago on all prophecy about the spirit, how Kali Yuga will progress and how this movement will also progress. Like that. You can read it. He quotes the different Puranas like that. Years up, and then gradually declining again. Prabhupada said, don't stay around too long. Go back to Godhead so you don't have to experience, you know, the decline. Well, that was... The parampara is a little, what we say, unclear. I think that's the word. If you go to the Vatican, there's a list of the popes, from the first pope all the way to the present. So that's somewhat like a parampara of the popes, who are what we can say the... I don't know how you would describe it, but the leaders of the Catholic traditions, like that. Prabhupada said the different priests in their different congregations are more like, you know, teachers, you might even say spiritual masters. And they have their followings like that. So there's little offshoots like that, and the different congregations have their different followings like that. But it's a little bit, we say loose, it's not as strong as our tradition because it's not backed up by a lot of Shastra. It's something that is more or less works according to, you know, how to function. You know, you have your priests and you have your followers like that. But no clear parampara. Christianity split a lot, but the original split was between, you know, those who were following some of the apostles and some who were following others. And then there was a movement that came out around the 2nd century AD called the Desert Fathers. And they are actually the true Christians. They would go into seclusion and chant the holy names of Jesus, fast, perform austerities, practice celibacy. They would make us look quite bad according to their austerities. They were performing tremendous austerity. That movement was in one section of the world for many, many centuries. It spread to, and then it became the Orthodox Christians after a while, and spread into the areas like Russia and others. So there's many who are very strict in their practice, extremely strict. On the streets, yeah. Yeah, I know a little bit about that. Also, China. China is spreading a lot. So, I mean, there's certain countries, you know, when I have to travel, there's certain countries I can't wear a dhoti when I go into the country because I won't get in. They just don't let me in. And so there are certain countries that are against our movement like that. More of a legal way of stopping, but there has been other attempts also. So. But Lord Chaitanya said, every town and village. What he meant by the holy name will spread every town and village like that. How did it start in Russia? It started with a book. You know, Prabhupada came and with a couple of devotees and left one book there, the Bhagavad Gita. And one devotee met Prabhupada, and from that one book and from that one devotee, an entire Russian yatra developed. Amazing. So, yeah, purity is the force. Preaching is the essence. Utility is the principle. And what's the other one? Books are the basis. Okay, anything else? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.